exclusive.
All right, man. First of all, welcome to Milwaukee. Yes, welcome to being a Milwaukee Buck. And your first thoughts, feelings when you first heard the trade had been made?
Just ecstatic. Really, really, really excited just to be able to play and contend for a championship and play with great players, play for a Hall of Fame coach. You know, Bucks fan base is always good. So that's, you know, it's like a dream come true, really. So.
And what does it do for your competitive juices coming from a team that's in rebuild mode to a team that's in championship mode in terms of aspirations?
Yeah, well, I enjoyed that chapter of my life, you know, being able to help and develop people, but my competitive spirit was hit. And I think that coming here, those juices are really flowing. I think as soon as the trade happened, they almost flew all over the place. So, super, super excited.
Now, one thing I've really appreciated about your game is how comfortable at your size you are out on the perimeter. I mean, that's a skill within itself. In terms of defensively, what's your comfort level defending that position, the three spot?
Oh, for sure. More than good. You know, I think for my career, I've always been, a switchable guy, somebody that guarded multiple positions, and that's where I hang my hat on my versatility, being able to guard whoever, make it tough. So.
And quickly, your foundation deals with single mothers. Yes. How active do you plan to be in the Milwaukee community with that foundation?
Huge, huge, huge. I was telling my mom the other day that I'm living my Midwest dream now, you know, being from Michigan. And, my foundation is extremely important to me and my mother and affecting all the areas that I lay my head in. So,
great stuff, man. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
All right. Appreciate you. All right.
You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production on the Bucks Plus Network.
Your weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a Bucks legend. This is Here District with Marcus Johnson, alongside his son and 1995 NCAA champion, Chris. Here's MJ.
Welcome to Here District. I am the captain of this vessel on this fantastic voyage that has taken so many twists and turns on the open. Man,
We got to man the wheel, man.
We're going all.
Oh, 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 oh!
Hey, hey, hey! The fantastic voyage is hitting some uncharted territory. First mate Chris Johnson. Talking Bucks. Man, oh man! Now it's so fascinating to me because the trade deadline comes up or approaches, and. You know, you hear some scuttlebutt about the Bucks maybe going to do this, Bucks maybe going to do that, different names thrown in the hopper. And then right before the trade deadline hits, to have this outpouring of activity on the part of the Bucks. And let me preface it with this, too. These guys have been on the phone, Chris. Milt Newton, John Horse.
I'm sure.
It's like an appendage. It's like stuck to their ears. Every time you see them, they're talking.
They're under a lot of pressure to make something happen.
And there was a situation where we were someplace on the road and our sideline reporter, Melanie Ricks, had her clothes in this little concealed office off to the side and the doors were locked and she wanted to go in, but she didn't know because John Horst and Milton Newton were in there talking on their phones. And so she asked our equipment manager, Trevor, should she go in? He put his ear to the door to hear what they were talking about. It's like, no, you don't want to, you don't want to interrupt this. So it's been you got to wait till they get done because they're talking about some important stuff. So
sure.
Kuz. He first came on my radar in Utah. And I got to admit, I didn't watch a lot of Utah basketball. What was that? Larry Kostoyak back in the day, I think, was his coach at that time. Who was a former Buck, NBA guy? You know, you think about that.
Solid.
Not in terms of any kind of synergy or anything, but just in terms of learning from a guy that played
tutelage.
In the league. Tutelage. Learning from a forward about his same size, Kostoyak. He's a Montana Grizzly. You know, I used to like his game, as a matter of fact. But that was cool.
Kostoyak was all right.
He was not a bum. He was by no shape, form.
Not a plumber, dog. He might have looked like one, but he was not a plumber.
And so Kyle Kuzma, the Bucks acquire Kyle Kuzma. Chris, what are we getting? You tell me. What are we getting?
Folks, are thinking that this guy is just going to be a three and that's our wing and et cetera, et cetera. I can't see Kuz at this stage of career being a three. I think he is most capable as a floor spacer at the four. He's a mismatch waiting to happen in that position as well. And then he's shown some flashes of some decent playmaking ability as well, which can help take the pressure off of Giannis and Dame Lillard. The things you got to worry about with Kuz is on the defensive side of the ball, the consistency on defense, particularly against quicker guys when he gets caught in switches against guards. Sometimes he gets beat. Now, here's the deal. When you go to Washington, MJ, and you can speak to this better than I can, but when you go to a franchise that is based in a culture of losing, coming from a franchise that is based in a culture of winning a championship with the Los Angeles Lakers, etc., I don't think that this is a guy that you need to view through the lens of, oh, what he's done as far as production in Washington and how he currently is playing the game. As you know, MJ, when you go to a culture that is based in winning and is based in playing a certain style of playing the right way, Kuzma obviously has a championship pedigree and knows how to lock in. He's going to do that with the Bucks, in my opinion. What do you think, MJ, about Kuz coming to Milwaukee?
Well, you know, for me, I like to look at kind of the etymology of a player in terms of where he's come from.
Yeah.
What he's experienced, what are the roots of who he is in terms of where he is now in his career. Just kind of look at the background, trace the background. So he's a Michigan kid out of Flint, Michigan, single parent home, biracial, all that good stuff, growing up in Flint. And so now he goes to school, I think in suburban Michigan somewhere, not highly recruited out of high school, sends some videotape of himself to a gentleman, Ben Sparacio, at the Rise Academy in Philadelphia, prep school.
Sends, I know Ben.
Do you know Ben?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, okay. Yes. Okay. I worked out cool, so, you know, come on.
Yeah, yeah. So 6'6", 175 pounds. And so with Clint Parks? Or
Yes, yes.
Clint. Okay. And for those that need some frame of reference, Clint Parks was Kawhi Leonard's initial kind of workout guy back in high school when I first saw him. And Clint Parks, one of the best in the business at development. So anyway, since you take the Vince Sparacio, went to Rise Academy, then became recruited, wound up in Utah, blah, 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 all Pac 10 or 12 or whatever it was at that point. Got to the Lakers as a late first round pick, I believe.
Sleeper. Sleeper pick. Took a chance
straight,
on it.
A straight sleeper.
But the Lakers took a chance.
He and Brandon Ingram came in around the same time. I'm not sure the exact same year. One was a little bit older than the other. But I used to always get into these Twitter beefs with these Brandon Ingram dudes. Who every time I'd say that if Brandon Ingram had Kuz's footwork, he'd be an all-star. I said this when Brandon was like a rookie. And they would get so irate at me. He's better than Kuz. He's this. He's that. He's that. You know, and I tell him, look, I'm not saying that. I'm the biggest Brandon Ingram fan in the world. I'm just saying that Kyle Kuzma has elite-level footwork, Chris. And that's the thing that's always stood out to me. So give yourself and give Clint Parks and all the guys that he's worked with. I saw you guys working him out a couple of times. And just the stuff that you guys were doing with him and that he was using really helped his game advance. Yeah. And so all that to say, this guy is a ball player. He's a bucket getter. You know, he scored 30 points over the last couple of weeks for the Wizards after being told to de-emphasize his scoring because they were working on developing their young players. And he got to the point where he said, enough is enough. I'm not going to, subjugate my offensive DNA, today at the expense of me averaging 15, a paltry 15 points a game. I scored 22 last year. I scored 21 the year before. I'm going back into my bag. Dropped 30.
Talk about
last couple of games.
Talk about the psyche, though, M, because you experienced this with Nelly in your second year. You go from 25.6, where you love to say 26 a game, to 20, back down to 20 because of a similar circumstance, but hey, M, we want you to score less. Talk about how that affects you as a ball player as far as your game, your motivation, you know, your energy out there.
It sucks every ounce of your basketball juices, you know, your motivation. I mean, because you work so hard. I work so hard to be this efficient scorer. to average 26 points a game, just under 25.6. We round up to 26. We round up around here.
Who rounds up?
But I shot 55% from the field.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
And these, this was the day before the analytics and the efficiency numbers and the PER, player efficiency rating, all that stuff was really a part of the game. So, you know, I don't think people really understood just what level of efficiency that that was on. Don Nelson,
no, ball people. No threes, mid-range, not one three, 26 a game, not one three.
Mid-range and rim, all mid-range and rim at that time. All mid-range
not one
and
three.
Rim. You know, it may have been a couple. Let's see, that was 79.
Was that the first year of the three?
Well, no, I think 79. I believe right around there. The three was right around there, but I didn't shoot very many. So my point is with Kyle Kuzma, to be in a situation in Washington where he's told to de-emphasize his score after dropping 22 a game, he probably came into this season thinking, I'm going to be an all-star. I'm about to average about 28, and they're telling him we're going to de-emphasize your scoring. So that. So now you look at his numbers across the board, and free throw shooting's down to around 60%. His field goal percentage way down, 3-point percentage way down. I'm telling you, a lot of that is just his mental approach and where he is now mentally as a basketball player. The inspiration, the motivation to be the best version of himself was not there.
Sure.
And until recently, when he said, "Screw this, I'm getting ready to be me. I'm tired of worrying about developing, you know, younger players." He's got this interesting contract too, because it descends every year from, you know, 20 to 2 to 21 to 19 or whatever it is. And so
19.5.
It was last year, a couple of years from now. And so now he's playing for a contract also. And with all this money,
no doubt.
What did Jimmy Butler just sign? $122 million deal for 2 years, you know?
Yeah, forget that.
I mean, all this money that's available, that factors into it also. So my point in saying this in terms of basketball etymology, a guy that's won a championship during the bubble year with LeBron, he's tasted the ultimate success, right? He knows what it takes. He knows how it feels to embark upon that fantastic voyage, that journey to a championship.
Yeah,
he knows the pressure. He knows the tension. He's already navigated that with the Lakers, one of the most prestigious organizations and one of the greatest players in the history of the game. He's been right there. So now he's coupled with another one of the greatest players in the history of the game, and Giannis, a team that's trying to embark on this same journey with the front office that's doing some aggressive things, Chris, which I love. I love John Horst. Yeah, it's going to be some misses. There's going to be some Nikola Mirotic's, some Danilo Gallinari's kind of sprinkled in the mix, but he's trying different things. He's trying to shake things up. It's going to be some P.J. Tuckers. There's going to be some Patrick Beverley. There's going to be some success stories, too, to sprinkle in with some of those guys who didn't work out. But I like the rolling of the dice on Kyle Kuzma because, as I say, he's a bucket getter. We've seen him get 30 points two times, not once, but twice in the last couple of weeks. So the scoring ability, the bucket getting ability is still there. He's 6'9", about 220-ish, 220 plus or whatever he is, 28, 29 years old. So, yeah, that might be a struggle. Now, but are you saying, Chris, that he's going to come off the bench in an ideal world for Doc Rivers? Or can you start him at the three with Giannis and Brooke and then start manipulating your lineup to adjust to whatever defensive requirements are necessary during the course of a game?
Yeah, I mean, at this stage, you're probably going to have to plug him in there at the three. His athleticism, ability to score. I mean, he's averaging 17 a game. I mean, at the three, he could get it off still, and especially in the Bucks' defensive scheme. I feel like Kuz will be probably will flourish a little more on the perimeter. Yeah. Now, watching him in Washington probably wasn't a fair sort of evaluation of him defensively, because now you're going into Greg Buckner's scheme, and they, you know, utilizing Kuzma's length, athleticism with the paint protection and then closing out the shooters. I mean, yeah, there's some things that you can do. So, but I think in an ideal world, MJ, I think, you know, Kuz spends time at the three, but I think a lot of this has to do with this, the Bucks changing, not changing, but conforming to this new identity of this, of the modern style, man, where you need to have a guy at the four that can really space. that could really and can move, right? So, you know, when Giannis is at the, and I know that the Bucks have been hesitant to spin, put Giannis at the five for extended periods of time, but you tell me, if you try it one way for a certain amount of time, you got a small window to win a title, okay?
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, when you bring it in a Kyle Kuzma, that gives you this type of lineup flexibility now, and you're bringing in another guy, a dynamic wing, when that goes through in KPJ, it could be just what the doctor ordered, but I just don't think, you know, right now, because of how much Chris meant, he was the heart and soul of the Bucks, well, the soul of the Bucks, I'll say. You know, if Giannis was the heart, he was the soul for the last decade plus. For the last decade plus, and Middleton is a guy that fans love, adore, but we got to keep it real with Chris and where what state he's in as far as his NBA career physically. You know, is it worth $51 million over the next 2 years, or do you make a move, shed that contract, get under the tax, save $30 million under the luxury tax? Now you can make some moves.
Get off that second apron.
Second apron. Get off that second apron. Now we don't know.
And as who do we have on the show? Bobby Marks. Was that the gentleman that we had?
Yes. Bobby
Marks taught me a wonderful word, aggregate. Remember that aggregate? Yes, means you're able to combine players,
salaries,
aggregate, combine, aggregate. You can't do that if you're at the second apron. The Bucks are below the second apron. You know, trading deadline.
Great point, MJ.
But back to Kyle Kuzma. Let's get into some about that action. And so, obviously, about that action, we're going to feature the offensive skill package of a guy that has some of the best footwork of any player in the league. I say that without reservation. You know, without reservation, maybe limited athletically, not jumping out the gym, not dunking on people. But the reason he's in the league, the reason he's dropping 20 a game the last 2 years prior to this season is because of that footwork. So let's take a look at Kyle Kuzma about that action and break down some of that impeccable footwork that Chris Johnson, Clint Parks helped him develop as a younger player in his career. A little shot fake, space. Look, you talk about his three-point shooting down in the low 30s or whatever, but again, you know, I just think numbers belie the potential that he has. You see the footwork on that move, finding the glass off the kiss. Go ahead, Chris, you chime in. You tell me what you're seeing.
Yeah, I'm seeing a Kuz that is obviously in a situation in Washington where the culture's different and he's asked to do things. So I don't know just how, he doesn't look like the Kuz that I'm used to seeing. I'm going to be honest with you, as far as the sharpness, as far as the detailed stuff. But this stuff is still very effective. You're talking about a guy that's 6'8", 6'9", you know what I'm saying, with jumper and feet. Man, I love the deal. I love Kuz's game. I love his fit with Giannis and Dame and in this Bucks team. I don't care what anyone says. I truly believe that this he's going to bring a new dimension to the Bucks that they haven't had in a while. Can you think of a guy that the Bucks have had at the four with this type of dynamic ability?
Not just Mickey Johnson in 1983.
somebody like that, like Bobby's live, but like Kuz is like a different level of athleticism. And again, I'm not underselling Kuz on the defensive end, MJ, but I love his ability to run the lane, to get out, and then he has like he knows how to play basketball, so he makes good basketball plays, movements, cuts, etc., championship type stuff. I love your point about a guy that knows how to do it. There's nothing like it. It's funny. I was talking to old UCLA assistant coach David Grace yesterday at Shiloh's game, who's the head coach at Campbell Hall. We were talking about just how he never recruited a guy that wasn't a winner. I think winning brings a certain skill set, MJ, that's beyond what we're looking at and about that action as far as jumpers and moves. Like, this guy knows when to do it, what to do, when to go to it, the value, you know, of shots, the pressure of it all. Like, the intangibles is where Kuz is really going to stand out for the Bucks team, in my opinion.
Right. And to your point, and this is a bit of a concern, but not major. You talk about how winning can bring that out. So this is a Wizards team that's won, what, all of 7 games at the time of this taping this season. It's not to say they're tanking, but they're positioning themselves for the Cooper flag sweepstakes and all that. I have no problem with that. But what it does to players, I had a conversation with Dell Curry when we played the Hornets. And Dell was talking about, you know, this is a Hornet team that's also struggling. But his thing is, like, you've got to allow these guys to get a taste of winning. You can't condone not having the spirit of winning in your locker room. You know, and if you don't have the talent to win and you wind up getting into the lottery and a chance to get one of these collegiate superstars, so be it. But that's not the approach to take. And I agree with that. And what it does for a guy like Kuzma, who is used to success with the Lakers, the glamour franchise, NBA champion. Now you go to a situation like this and your basketball spirit is not the same. And so
that's what I'm saying.
And I think with the Bucks, that will help resurrect, bring the dead back to life, his basketball spirit. And playing alongside of Dame and playing alongside of Giannis and Brooke Lopez and guys that have been there and won a championship, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, won a championship, being in that locker room again, that championship locker room, that championship feeling. We're playing for something. I got to come out here and get it. I got to come out here and get it done tonight. You telling me, oh, you need me to get 20 to 25 tonight? Okay. You know, for us to win and for us to not only win, but for us to be the best version of ourselves as a team and compete for a championship. Let's get it. I'm ready. You know? So it's a resurrection of that basketball spirit that I'm looking most forward to with Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, and to your point, MJ, about the basketball spirit, like, think about it like this. Like, in Washington, there's no real peer pressure for Kuzma as far as, like, vets and OGs and guys that are actually better than him other than, like, Jordan Poole. So now you put him with Giannis and Dame, and as a hooper, you know this. Yeah. It's like there's a peer pressure that exists when better players, you're playing against next to guys that are better than you. Like, you know, as a hooper, you're going to get in where you fit in, try to, you know, dot your I's, cross your T's, pay attention to the details, because you're trying to make this work out of respect for dudes' games. I mean, this is something else that I think that, like, you know, fans are just up in arms about this move, need to have a little bit of nuance through which the lenses they view Kyle Kuzma. I'm going to go down swinging when I say this, like, he's not going to be the same guy that he is in Washington. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. We're going to see it right away. We're going to see it's first game. He's not going to be that dude. He's just not. He's going to be championship Kuz from the Lake Show.
Well, and as you know, you're looking at some of the video on Kyle Kuzma. Yeah, Jordan Poole will get some defensive attention, but he's got some magnets out there. He's got some gravity.
Man, major.
And Giannis and Dame. You know, and even Brooke Lopez with the ability to stretch out the defense. So I'm just saying, catching the ball with 7 seconds on the shot clock on the backside with a closeout defender running at him, because the team had doubled on Giannis and now they're scrambling. Look at these videos, the way he attacks closeouts. That's tailor-made for Kuz. The pull-up jumper, the mid-range jumper off a closeout situation, the sidestep, three-point shots, tailor-made. Yes. For what's about to happen with Kyle Kuzma. So I like it.
I love it. I think, you know, at the end of the day, give him a chance. You know, give him a chance. You know, just he's going to come in. He's a professional. He's locked in, and he has championship pedigree. Those are the things you should know about Kuzma. 17 a game, 6'9", 230, young forward, 3/4, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that archetype, that's live. I'm sorry, guys. And you're saving $30 million on the luxury tax. And, come on, man. I know it's not all about saving money and guys like that, but shoot, the championship window is now.
Yeah, it's now. And look, so let's you know, confront the elephant in the room. So Chris Middleton, look, you know. I can play, you know. I said this on our broadcast. That if Chris Middleton never scored another bucket as a Milwaukee Buck, he has cemented his legacy in Milwaukee Bucks history, in Milwaukee Bucks lore, by what he has done for this franchise over the past 11 plus seasons. He's in the top two or three in a lot of different stat categories. He passed me for something recently. I forgot what it was. If he would have been traded a month ago, I might be able to hold on to like that number three spot, but that's neither here nor there. But no, I'm just being silly with that. But I have more respect for him, as much respect for him as any ball player I've been around, watching the work that he's put in. And not only that, Chris, and you can speak to this because, you know, you got that clutch gene. I didn't have the clutch gene. I was the guy that penetrated and kicked to the clutch shooters like Junior Bridgman and Brian Winters. You know, you had game winners from the time you were 12, 13, all through high school, all through college, you know, as a professional. I didn't have that clutch gene. I didn't have that automatic jump shot. You know what I mean? That I had the 110% confidence in that I was going to knock it down. I had about a 75 to 80% confidence. So that was some, but you guys have that. And Chris Middleton has that. And Chris Middleton has hit game winners and has dropped the 40 plus in playoff situations when Giannis was not available. Two bad ankles and a bad knee against the Pacers last year, averaged 25 points a game in our first round series against them. You know, beat up and bang. And so Chris Middleton is one of the most beloved figures in Bucks history. And yes, it is well deserved. But it's time to move on. And Father Time is undefeated. Chris left his body parts, his wrist surgery, his knee surgery, his bilateral ankle surgery. That means two ankles, both ankles operated on over the course of a summer. So my thing is like, and I would have this conversation during our broadcast with Lisa Byington when she would talk about Chris and his inconsistencies last, the last big road trip. He was 0 points, 21 points, 0 points, 22 points, and how we had never seen that before from Chris. I'm like, we've never seen Chris with bilateral ankle surgery. It's just not rocket science. I mean, the young man was struggling to regain his form, and there was no guarantee. If we could be guaranteed he's going to be a version of Chris Middleton that could give you 18 to 20 points a game, yeah, and, you know, take over when you needed to, which he's shown in spurts, but there's no guarantee of that. And plus, you don't know, Chris, and you know, this is just being real, you know, with the injury history, is this going to be a recurring theme? Are you really, you know what I mean? Are you finished with the surgeries, or is this kind of the stage of your career based on your body type, based on how hard you played, what you've given to this franchise at 33 years old? Is this going to be something that the Bucks are going to have to look at over the next couple of years? He's got that player option for like $34 million, I think, next year or whenever it is. And so we respect what he did. We appreciate what he did. I love him for the person and that he's developed into as I've watched him over these last 11 years. But it's time to move on. It's time to move on. And you know, Kyle Kuzma, is he the perfect basketball player to replace a Chris Middleton? You're not going to find a guy like that. But I think that it's a gamble worth taking, that the Bucks have taken John Horst, Milton Newton, rolling the dice on Kyle Kuzma, putting him into a winning environment, putting him into a situation that's going to be nurturing with Doc Rivers as a coach now, you know, being able to be real with him, be honest with him, but also to let him know how much this team, this franchise needs him to be Kyle Kuzma. And don't worry about fitting in and development of younger players and all that. So, again, Chris Middleton, you know, we bid you adieu. It's been a great run, man. We wish you all the best in Washington, D.C., with the Wizards or wherever he winds up. If he gets bought out and gets a chance to go to a contender, I don't know what's going to happen. But I have nothing but love and respect for this young man and just appreciate everything that he has done for this franchise.
Yeah, man. It was hard for me. On the outside looking in, it's like you don't realize the impact that Chris Middleton had on the Milwaukee franchise until you actually like get involved with Bucks fans and understand and get your finger on the pulse. He was the pulse. I mean, you know, I already said he was Milwaukee's soul, but it isn't about stats. When I think about Chris Middleton, I'm not going to probably look at his stats. Although he ranks high on the Bucks list, he's like, you know, third in whatever scoring and first in threes. But with Chris, it's about the clutch DNA. It's about his selflessness, the big shots. What was it, Dad? Game four, 2021, 40? What do you have?
Atlanta?
In the finals. Didn't he have a 40
ball? Phoenix, right. Yeah.
Come on! 40 ball!
he's had so many great moments. It's just hard. It's hard to differentiate between them. That's the example of his greatness, the level of greatness that he's reached.
And to think that the Bucks picked him up
with a throw-in,
lopsided trades. Lopsided trades in one of the most lopsided trades in NBA history. If you're going to go down as a franchise, great, right?
Yeah.
You got to look at that trade. You got to look at the dude that threw in who became a franchise great, perennial all-star. I mean, all-star, a champion. Like, dude. And Giannis, man, watching Giannis talk about it and kind of get his feelings on the matter, man, you can see it hurts him. You can see that this is somebody that he loved. This is his brother, you know. My brotherhood with Chris. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And the most compelling thing that I saw or comment that Giannis made in the interview was like, it was kind of a throwaway comment. It was like, you know, we're going to hang out after our careers are over. We're brothers. You know, we're going to hang out. We're going to be a part of each other's lives after we get done with basketball. And that's what people got to realize, you know, in terms of this career thing in the NBA is such a finite deal. For Chris, for Giannis, they're entering the second half, the third quarter overall, you know, of their career. Chris, maybe the fourth quarter of their basketball careers. And so it's chunks of reality that need to be digested. And it's indeed a tough chunk to digest. You may need some Melanta to help it go down or some Maalox or something, but you got to digest it. It's time to move. You know, it's not easy for me to say this because I love Chris Middleton. I love everything about him and the family, man, and watches you get married and the kids and the whole go through the struggles when his dad passes away and through the course of the season and the injuries and everything that's gone on with him, and to see how he has handled himself as a true gentleman. Class act all the way.
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes. No more, no less. Bucks in Six provides game recaps for every game. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis.
Puts it on the floor, spins down the lane, and plunges it through.
Or the deep threes from Dame.
Dame time has arrived with 107.
Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production.
And so the bottom line is it's time to move on. And so moving on, we got Kyle Kuzma coming in. Got a couple other pieces that the Bucks have picked up that I find very, very intriguing. We'll start with the big man from the New York Knicks out of Texas, Jericho Sims, 6'9", 6'10", running. And it's funny, Chris, I had been saying to myself, you know, what does this team need? And I kept coming up with, we need a running, dunking, shot blocking, athletic big that's worried about scoring, like a Clint Capella type of just rim running, you know, decent hands, lob catching, hard roller. And so there's some guys out there that I was looking at that their teams had some redundancy at their position. But Jericho Sims is intriguing to me. And I watched some video on him. And look, you know, we talked to Clyde Frazier. And Clyde had some interesting comments to talk about Jericho Sims.
Well, first of all, great character guy. You know, he's always cordial, showing a lot of respect to me, whatever. Phenomenal leaper. I think he's 6'10". You know, his lack of offensive prowess, I think, kind of hurt him. You know, it wasn't much of a threat other than the dunk shot, getting dunks. You know, but he was aggressive on defense, you know, protecting the rim and all of that. But I think that's eventually why the Knicks probably put him up for a trade because of that. And they have Robinson coming back. You know, he's cleared to work out now.
Right, good. But you think Jericho can help the Bucks? All we need, Clyde, we need a rim running, shot blocking, lob catching, dunking brother. You know, Jericho.
Yeah.
Jericho fits that bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this trade would help him confidence-wise, you know, because with the Knicks, when he got in the games, he was tentative when he got the ball inside, you know, kind of. So maybe he'll see now that, hey, man, he's got to make the next step. He wants to stay in the league. So this is a great opportunity for him now with the Bucks.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Jericho Sims is a guy I think that can help this team in the long run. Your feelings about Jericho Sims?
44.5-inch vertical, right? Known for shot blocking, but you need that bounce, bro. Put 44.5 inch vertical at what, 6'11", 6'10", whatever. 6'10". He is head in the rim, and him and Giannis are going to be at the top of the square on stuff. Okay. Look, 1.8 million. Okay. That's wow. a nice 1.8. Yeah. Is, you know, so, you know, you got to, you know, it's a good move for the Bucks.
And as Clyde Frazier told us, I mean, he needs some confidence. He needs a kind of a new environment to be around, some new skill development people. Ben Baker be one of the big man's coach that works a lot with him. That's going to help his development.
And he's also coming from a culture of winning.
Yes.
Thibs and Doc, you know, their connection. Yes. So it should be a seamless transition for the young man. Coming to Milwaukee.
Great point. I didn't think about that. Tom Thibodeau, he's the one that when the 2008-2009 Celtics were the best defensive team in the history of the league with two Kendrick Perkins and KG and Posey and P.J. Brown. I mean, it takes players to be a great defense, and they had the players.
It takes players to make a
great defense, but Thibs used to do this thing where he'd bring that big, strong side. The strong side to the basketball,
like a zone. But he's out the key. He's standing out the key on the strong side.
But so he'd overload that side defensively. Now you're looking at just a bunch of long, athletic.
So to your point,
that connection with Thibs and Doc. So Jericho knows what to expect from Doc.
Yes. Defense. And now, but think about what the Bucks haven't had is this type of energy at the five as far as leaping. You don't get this. Like, you don't get the leaping, quick, twitchy, rebounding shot blocker. I mean, look, Brooke is awesome. I'm talking about from the backup. Brooke goes out and you got somebody coming in that's going to be up there at the square with folks, and he can close out. He can move a little bit. His lateral is solid. Like, you know, he's like a different kind of a backup than Brooke, where it's going to give you some more, like I say, the quickness. That's what the Bucks just need, quickness in each, more quickness in every single position. I think John Horst did a good job of upgrading their athleticism at this deadline.
Yeah. And then the other piece that we hadn't talked about yet, Kevin Porter Jr. Now, Marjon Beauchamp, one of my favorite individuals, just in terms of what he has done, Chris, for the Native American communities all around the country. But in Milwaukee, he holds these special clinics for Native American kids. He wants to be a role model for Native American kids. He's part Native American out of Yakima, Washington. He takes a lot of pride in his heritage and making sure that his Native American people have uplifted self-esteem and feel good about themselves. So he spends a lot of time and money in that effort. And I told him, and I told his dad, I talked to his dad in Portland on a recent road trip. I love his dad. His grandfather was the first black mayor out of Yakima. So they're really politically connected. But talked to his dad, and I told him, you know, Milwaukee may not be the place where he can flourish. Marjon goes to the Clippers. We wish him the best. But we get Kevin Porter Jr.
This guy, he can take pressure off of Giannis and Dame, right, as a third option, because he can get buckets. Takes pressure off of Dame as a playmaker. Because this dude has a bag and a half, and if it's channeled properly, and that's the whole key with this kind of guy. No, listen. He's one of those guys with the endless bag that you got to channel and corral it, and you got to really get the reins on this type of dude, because he will jack, because he will pull, he will jack.
Well, I'm laughing because I'm thinking of a video I've watched of him before we played the Clippers recently. And he's got him on skate. He's side to side. He's heavy.
He is so sweet.
He's got a bag that is off the freaking tizzy.
And also, MJ, like, a theme. I won't say it's a theme, but I have noticed that the Bucks, like guards, when they play the Bucks, it's like eyes light up. It's food. Like, dudes have gone off. Dudes have gotten have had, like, I won't say an easy time, but now you got a guy with some length, some activity, youth at the wing, guards slash position, right? Yeah. He can be a good defender. Like, he has the tools, but it's obviously going to take buy-in. It's going to take that buy-in, that lock-in. Okay, now we put this wild talent, this young dude with endless talent in a championship organization around some seasoned, savvy vets. Can he conform? Just like we talked about with Kyle Kuzma being in a losing culture, how that was an issue. I think KPJ's thing is going to be a little different, but in a similar fashion, right? He's going to have to come through, understand what his role is, what is expected of him. Absolutely, Doc is going to define that. And then he's really got to take it upon himself to stay within that role. Yeah. MJ, you know, that's the deal. It's staying locked in into that role that's going to help your team win ball games.
Kevin Porter Jr., Chris, is averaging almost 20 minutes a game, giving him 9 points a game. He's had huge games. He had a 16-point quarter or something against the Celtics recently, a third quarter where he just couldn't be stopped. You know, so he's a guy, his bag, we talked about that. So, you know, I love watching him just going side to side, breaking defenders down. He's got an excellent, excellent feel for getting to his spots, separation. His mid-range game is off the hook. I just think the Bucks have got a real interesting piece to their puzzle. And the other thing is, and I love Gary Trent Jr., don't get me wrong, with the toughness, the shooting, but in terms of having guys that can get their own shots.
Handle! You know what I mean? Handle!
In the playoffs, it is so important. It's imperative for success in playoffs to have some depth, quality depth of guys that can get their own shot. And he brings that to the table like no other.
No, absolutely. Again, like we talk about, it's about the culture rubbing off on him. Yeah. The Bucks culture needs to rub off on him immediately. And if he can lock in, buy in, dude, this changes the look of how deep the Bucks can make a run. Him, Kuz, or Jericho. I mean, dang, those three.
Yeah.
You give up Middleton, Marjan, DeLon.
You bring in Kuzma. You bring in Jericho Sims. You bring in Kevin Porter Jr. Kevin Porter Jr. with 70%, like around the rim, 50% on the mid-range jumpers, 10 to 16 feet. And these are quality offensive players, Kuzma and KPJ. And then you get the athleticism and length that you've been desperate for. And as Clyde Frazier talked about, Jericho Sims, I mean, yeah, he's a work in progress with his hands and offensively and finishing in the crowd and all that good stuff. But, man, catching them lob dunks, that 44-inch vert, contesting shots at the rim. And we're talking about, 12 to 15 minutes a game, just giving Brooke Lopez a chance to get his numbers down from 30-plus minutes a game to about 27, 28, which is more manageable for Brooke at 37 years old, 17th year in the league. So I love it, man. I love the moves. You know, and like it always is. It's a crapshoot. We'll see how it works out. But I like the fact that the Bucks front office, they're being proactive is the word I'm looking for. Proactive in terms of trying to improve this team and taking advantage of not only Giannis's championship window, but also Dame's championship window. Dame has been playing great basketball over the last 2 or 3 weeks, month, or whatever it's been, maybe even a little bit longer. But he's changed his whole mindset. So I think it's time to take advantage of how these guys are playing and take advantage of this championship window that shrinks every single year that you don't win it. So I love the acquisitions.
Yeah, me too, man. What did you think about the Lakers trade?
Anthony Davis and Luka. You know, here's my bottom line. And I've kind of bounced all over the place on this because you get caught up into believing the narrative that Luka's out of shape and Luka's out of – Luka led his team to the NBA Finals, what, last year? Luka played 40 minutes a game. Luka was carrying the freaking Mavericks on his back for stretches and stretches and stretches during the playoffs and dropping incredible. Luka's had, what, a 70-plus point game? I mean, if that's out of shape, you know, if that's emblematic of a guy being out of shape. Now, look, could he be in better shape and all that? LeBron, I think, will rub off on him in a positive vein from that standpoint. But don't give me this. I don't want to hear this stuff about, you know, Luka not being in shape and the numbers and the accomplishments don't back that up. Don't justify that narrative in my mind. You?
I really can't envision a world where we're talking about a guy that averaged, 32 last year?
Yeah.
Almost a triple-double is out of shape. Look, out of shape is different from looks like a world-class athlete. Right. Like, you know what I mean? We need to understand Paul Pierce might not have been considered the most buff cut guy, but you know, he's dropping 40 against the Lakers on Kobe in the finals.
Nikola Jokic, three-time MVP.
Arguably, so we got to say, if you're talking about the Slavic dudes and stuff and the way they look, like, we got to just understand something. It don't matter how them dudes look.
Yeah.
It does not matter how Jokic looks. Jokic can walk around like that. He has three MVPs. They talking about him top five, top 10 ever. Like, bruh, Luka the same. So here's my thing with the deal, though. The Lakers, you only get the Dallas Mavericks, you only get a 2029 first rounder and AD for Luka, a generational talent, a face of the NBA type of guy that is 22, 23 years old. Yeah. Like, that just speaks to, obviously, the pressure that general manager Nico Harrison was under in Dallas to make a move. Like, you're a GM. You are not just gonna say, hey, LA, here's Luka for AD and a 2029 pick. They needed to do something out there. I don't know if that romance had run its course in Dallas. There's butting of heads going on with Luka's physical guy, his strength and conditioning coach, who was on staff the year before. Then the Mavs took him off staff going into this season. But the reality is, when you're able to pair are two of the greatest basketball players, 6'8", 6'9", ball handling kind of guys that we've ever seen do it.
IQ.
Together.
IQ together.
Luka's defensive is a liability defensively. They say, 116 defensive rating. It could be a problem. But for me, seeing what I see from him last year, I have no doubt that this is a guy that could impact the game on both sides of the ball, a la how Bird used to impact the game defensively. Yeah. Wasn't necessarily the quickest, fastest, strongest, but that IQ thing translates on both ends. At the end of the day, if you're asking me who won the trade, the Mavs or the Lakers, man, that's tough. I think because Dallas, you got AD with the rim protection, almost 2.5 blocks a game, him and Kyrie. You got the concerns about AD's injuries and his availability. But, man, I don't know, dude. I don't know. It's hard to call, man.
Well, to your point, so it's always – it's not in a vacuum that you analyze these things. The Lakers just traded Dalton Connect and some other pieces to Charlotte for Mark Williams, 7-footer out of Duke, who just dropped a 30 piece. He's had some really great games in the month of January. Yeah. He's averaging 23 and double figure rebounds since the end of January, early February, or something like that. So, you couple that with Luka and everything else that's going on.
I think it changes it. I think that changes the look of the Lakers, sort of, their trade deadline with Mark Williams, because now you got a replacement for AD who's a lot younger and who's much more available to play.
Yeah. So we'll see how it pans out. But, man, look, fantastic boards. This is what it's all about, making moves. And we're here to dissect, to analyze, and more importantly, to go on a ride with you. And, Chris, let them know where they can hear the podcast.
You can watch the podcast on the Milwaukee Bucks official YouTube channel, and you can listen to us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. That's it, man. I'm so excited about this second half of the season. We'll see how it pans out, but I like the moves the Bucks have made, and we'll be back here next week to talk even more about it. And man, just what a great flurry of activity around the league, and in particular for the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's all good. All right, Marcus Johnson, Chris Johnson, here, District. Talk to you next week.
This has been a Bucks Plus audio production.